Well, thank you very much for that, and Dr. Moeller, for the opportunity to speak to Southern this morning. And I think this is about the fourth time I've been here. It's always a great experience to be on campus and to sense your heart and to worship with you. And what a glorious experience it is, truly, to be on this campus and sense the presence of God in this place. And I know in the midst of all of your activity and certainly your study and your preparation, it is good always to draw aside, to draw near, as you are doing today in chapel. And I commend you for that. I want to bring you a message today from the 78th Psalm. So I would invite you to turn there to this rather long psalm written by Asaph, who wrote beautifully of the nation of Israel, its leadership, and specifically at verses 70 and 72, he wrote of David the king of Israel, who was sovereignly and strategically placed at the helm of the nation. Not because he necessarily looked the part. In fact, he was passed over initially, left in the shepherd's field while his brothers were being admired, and yet no king was found. David didn't look the part, but he had the heart, for he was a man after God's own heart. You know, there are many wonderful titles for the servant of God, for the minister. We find them in the scripture. Words like steward and servant and witness and herald and evangelist and fisher of men. But I believe my favorite title for the minister is what we see in the story of David and in this brief biography, really, of David that we find in these verses. For he is called a shepherd. That's my favorite title, to be a shepherd of the flock of God. Verse 70 said, he also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Now I recognize that not everyone in this room is preparing to be a pastor of a church. Perhaps you're called to be a minister of a different kind. Perhaps you're called to teach or to lead in the church. But in one sense, while we're not all pastors, we are all shepherds of the flock of God, in the sense that we are feeding and leading God's people. And as you look at this passage of Scripture and really take it apart and discover in it what brought David from the sheepfolds to the shepherding of Israel, you discover something of your own call and your own identity in that call. What is it that we do as pastors? Who are we as ministers of the gospel? Well, we have been called to shepherd the flock of God. And in that little word, shepherd, I see our identity. Now, David himself had so many titles or descriptions. He was a singer, a psalmist. He was, of course, a soldier, and he was a statesman. And yet the Spirit of God, in this biography, chooses to call him a shepherd. It was in the shepherd fields that he developed his skills as he would become the leader of Israel. It was in the shepherd fields that he prepared his heart. You, of course, know that the Psalms are a reflection of this man's heart as he worshiped God, often expressing the deep, deep emotion of a man who had a passion for God and the things of God. Several years ago, in fact, a long time ago now, I was in Israel for the first time, and we were out near the shepherd fields in the Judean desert, and we actually stopped the bus and got off and went out to some Bedouin tents. And when you walk into Bedouin tents and meet the shepherds there, it's like stepping back in time. It's as though you were in a time machine and you're living now as they lived 3,000 years ago. So we stepped into the Bedouin tent, and the gentleman was very nice and gracious to us, and we sat down and had some coffee or tea with him and spoke with him through the translator, and then he gave us a tour of his tent. Now, this was apparently a rather wealthy man comparatively, and he had several compartments to his tent, so we go back to a sleeping compartment, and there in that compartment was a television set with rabbit ears. And I'm thinking, what am I missing here? And I also thought, you know, if David had had one of those things, we'd never had the book of Psalms. David cultivated his heart and his soul and his life, and yes, his leadership as a shepherd. And as I said, he was called because of his great heart for God, not because he was the most beautiful or even the most talented. He was, in one sense, as a shepherd, an ordinary man. But as you know, God uses ordinary men and women to do extraordinary things when our hearts are given to Him. Last evening, I was preaching down in Florida at Tampa at the First Baptist Church of Temple Terrace. We were having a radio rally there with one of the stations and the churches, the Christians in that area. That's what we're doing here this evening. We're on WFIA at 10 a.m. Each morning here, and we have a wonderful relationship with the station here. But I was down there speaking and at the First Baptist Church of Temple Terrace. Now, if you've read the biography of Billy Graham, you know that when Billy Graham was a student at what was then known as Florida College in Tampa, he went through a breakup in a relationship. A girl that he loved, thought he was supposed to marry, she broke up with him. He was down, he was discouraged, he didn't know exactly what direction he was to take in ministry. And he was unsure of himself and of his calling. And according to the story, he knelt down on a green, the 18th green of a golf club there in Temple Terrace. And on that green, Billy Graham surrendered fully his life to the calling of God. Surrendered his talents, his gifts, or the lack of them, and said, God, if you can use me, use me. And out of the brokenness of a life experience, out of the brokenness of a sense of purposelessness in his own life, he found his purpose and he discovered his calling there on that green. And I discovered that that little green there, the 18th green of that golf course, was a stone's throw from that church where I was preaching last evening. And I said to the people then, as I say to you this morning, no one knew when that lanky North Carolina preacher knelt on that green and received his calling and his commitment to Christ. No one knew from that little place the world would be changed. Do not despise the day of small things. God calls us out of secret places and small places to put us in strategic places. And I know there are times you wonder, why am I here? What am I doing here in these days of preparation? You're ready to go and to change the world. But God uses us wherever we are and calls us out of the ordinary experiences of life. And He raises us up to achieve great things for the glory of God. And so our identity is to be a shepherd. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this about the calling of the minister and of the preacher. To me, the work of preaching is the highest and greatest and most glorious calling to which anyone can ever be called. I say, you know, the ministry is the worst career possible, but it's the highest calling in life. If you seek a career in ministry, you're destined for failure. But if you follow and fulfill a calling, you will be a success in God's eyes. And if God calls you to preach, don't stoop to be president. If God calls you to serve His church, don't stoop to be a king. I, along with my good lifelong buddy O.S. Hawkins, grew up in a church in Fort Worth, Texas called the Sagamore Hill Baptist Church. And the pastor of that church was a rough-hewn Texan by the name of Fred Swank. He pastored that church, shepherded that church for 43 years. We had the privilege of being a part of his ministry. We were mentored by him when we didn't even know what it was to have a mentor. He coached us up and prepared us for ministry. And when Fred Swank sometimes would go to chapel and preach over at Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, he was noted for a story of washtub number 9. And here's the story of washtub number 9. When Fred Swank was called into the ministry as a young man, he was working at a washateria. We don't even have those words, I don't think, anymore. But a laundromat. A washateria where you would wash clothes, and he was working there, and he was called to ministry there. And he said, you know, one day some fellow said, you know, if I hadn't been called to the ministry, if I wasn't a preacher, why, I could have been a CEO, I could have been a business leader, perhaps I could have gone into politics. And he was bragging about what he could have done if he hadn't accepted the call to ministry. And Swank said, well, you know, I was thinking about that myself the other day. Said, when God called me, I was at the laundromat working on tub number 1. He said, who knows, by now, if I hadn't have been a preacher, I'd be all the way up to tub number 9. The fact is, my identity, I tell you honestly, my identity is in being a shepherd. I seek no other identity. Certainly I have a role as a parent and as a husband to my wife, and I rejoice in that. But who I am is the calling of God upon my life. And I would choose no other if I could. What did the Apostle Paul say? Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Necessity is laid upon me. We can't do anything else if we tried. God puts a desire in our hearts. God gives us a passion. And that calling is to share the gospel. And when we draw near, we hear the still small voice of God, as David heard it in the shepherd's field and responded to God's compelling, consistent, and constant call. To me, the call of God is to His church. Now, I am bullish on the church. I love the church. We all know the church is not without problems. We all know the church is often guilty of crimes against humanity, in the sense that churches are not fulfilling their responsibility and their accountability before God. And we all know there are good churches and not so good churches. But, you know, I'm still in love with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love His church. The church has been such an important part of my life since my childhood. I'm grateful for a Christian heritage. I grew up in church. I learned the stories of the Bible in church. I memorized Scripture in church. It was in church that I met Christ and received Him as my Lord and Savior. It was in church that I learned my morality and my ethics. It was in church that I learned how to worship and learned how to pray. It was in church that I heard and responded to the call of God in my life. It was in church that I met the woman who would be my wife. It was in church that we got married. It was in the church that we dedicated our lives as parents and brought our children before the Lord. It is in the church that we serve and have given our lives all of these years. And, you know, I am just excited today about His church. I'm not cynical. I'm not wringing my hands about the responsibilities. You know, I think we ought to put an end to all whining in ministry. Because of all the things we could do in life, we get to do what God has called us to do. I can't imagine life without this calling. Again, it is who I am. I have no other ambitions but to shepherd the flock of God, to minister in the name of Jesus. When I was a young preacher, I read a book written by Harper Shannon, a Baptist pastor from Alabama at the time. The title of the book was Trumpets in the Morning. The title was taken from a conversation he had from a former pastor, a man who had, for some reason, left his calling and his ministry. And Harper Shannon asked his friend, Is there anything you miss? What do you miss about the ministry? This gentleman said, well, I can tell you up front, there are many things I don't miss about the ministry. But more than anything, I do miss the trumpets in the morning. Those trumpets that I hear calling me to serve, calling me to witness, calling me to shepherd. It is the call of God. It is the trumpet call that gets us up every day. And we get to do what perhaps no other calling can do in life, and that is to greet the day with meaning and purpose, knowing that we have something significant to do with our lives. We get to open our Bibles and get on our knees and study and prepare and preach and serve and visit and witness. That is our calling. It is to shepherd the flock of God and to serve the church of our God. This call is a sovereign call. It is a strategic call, and it is a shepherd's call. Jesus was called the shepherd, the good shepherd. And he said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. Matthew 9:36 says, seeing the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. It was the call of Christ to be a shepherd and to bring lost, helpless, confused humanity to himself. Jesus, the good shepherd, told a parable about shepherding. You may know it as the parable of the 90 and 9. And of course, it is that story of a shepherd who puts his flock down for the evening and notices that one is missing. So what does he do? Does he think to himself, well, it's just one and only one. I've got all these other sheep. I don't have time. I can't leave the rest of these and go find just this one little lamb. No, Jesus said that he left the 90 and 9 to go find that one little lamb that was lost. And he persisted and he pursued until he found that lamb. You know, when I look at that passage and hear that parable, I'm reminded that I don't preach to crowds and congregations and big groups. But it's my responsibility as a pastor to shepherd the entire flock of God and to go after the weak, the helpless, the defenseless. There was something going around in church growth circles a number of years ago that was akin to what I would call niche marketing. You know, you would talk to some pastors and they would say, well, you know, I got a baby boomer church. Someone else says, no, I got a Gen X church. Someone else, you know, says, well, I've got an emerging church. Somebody else said, I've got a submerging church. But it's kind of niche marketing. And we were even encouraged back in the day, back in my day in seminary, to find, you know, the homogeneity of your community and go after people and put people together that, you know, shared common interests and likes. Well, you know, when you read your Bible, you don't find a principle of homogeneity. You find a principle to seek and to save all who are lost, to go into all the world. And the church of Jesus Christ ought to look and taste a little bit like heaven of every nation, of every creed, and in every tongue. And I'm thankful that walls are being torn down in our generation, in your generation. Mario Rivera is the great pitcher of the New York Yankees, the relief pitcher, closer, future Hall of Famer. He's a strong believer in Christ. And he recently asked his pastor a probing and disturbing question. He said, Pastor, why is the New York Yankees baseball team more integrated than the church? The pastor responded to him, But the fact is that God has called us to cross the lines, to tear down the walls, and to reach people that don't look like us, smell like. You know, sheep sometimes are smelly and they're agitated and they tend to wander off. But God has called us as shepherds of the flock of God, as ministers of the gospel, to go get them, to go find them, and to bring them to Jesus. That is our calling. We must resist the urge to be cold, callous professionals. We are pastors. We are ministers. And the point of this parable of the 90 and 9 is not so much the lostness of the sheep, but the love of the shepherd. And may God give us that grace and that love to do what Jesus did, not simply just petting sheep and pandering sheep, but pursuing the sheep. And oh, there's great joy, the Scripture says, when the shepherd returns with that one little lamb. I found when I get discouraged, sometimes ministry is discouraging. Sometimes instead of feeling like you're herding sheep, you feel like you're herding cats. But the fact is, the best thing I can do when I'm discouraged is to do what God has called me to do as a shepherd, and that is to go find a lost lamb. For the believer, the three most important days in our lives are the day, one, that we were born, two, the day that we were born again, and three, the day we discover why we were born and born again. I have discovered why that calling is to be a shepherd. You know, if you have to ask the question, am I called to ministry? Am I called to preach? Am I called to be a shepherd? You're probably not. Because I assure you that there is a deep sense of calling that is compelling and contagious within. That is our identity. But then he says that David shepherded Israel with the integrity of his heart. And that speaks, of course, of the integrity of the minister. The identity of the minister, we are shepherds. Speaks of our calling as shepherds. The integrity of our ministry speaks of our character. I'm sure that there, everyone in this room today and everyone listening to me right now, you want the blessing of God upon your life and ministry. You long for it, you pray for it. But I can assure you that the blessing of God upon our ministry is not found in our position or in our titles or in our degrees or in our achievements. But it is primarily discovered in our character. It is within. Stephen Covey made an interesting comment regarding culture and society. He said the first 100 years, success in the public arena was judged by character. The last 50 years, success in the public arena has been judged by image. I'm concerned that that leaks over into the church at times. That image is more important than integrity. But of course, it is not. The primary priority of pastoring is godly character. Not my credentials. Not my communication skills, not my competence in leading, but character. The Bible calls character moral strength, noble character. The word noble often identifies character in the Bible. And you know, a great shepherd is not measured by the size of his sheepfold, but the depth of his character. David shepherded Israel with the integrity of his heart. You might want to raise your hand and say, well, what about his great failure? What about David's moral collapse? Indeed, David failed. And it's absolutely astounding to me that David was attacked by the enemy, not at a point of weakness, but at strength, at the point of his strength. What was his strength? He was a man who had a heart for God. He was a man of character. He shepherded Israel according to the integrity of his heart. And yet it was at the point of his heart and his character that he failed. Why is that? I believe it is because Satan often attacks us not at the point of weakness, but at the point of pride. And perhaps it was David's pride that caused him to coast spiritually. When he was just sort of loitering about the palace and fell into his great sin and committed adultery. It was the great devotional writer who said that an unguarded strength, this is J. Oswald Chambers, an unguarded strength is a double weakness. We must guard our strengths, lest we fall. Let him who stands take heed, lest he fall. But I can tell you this today, that there's nothing more draining, more depleting of energy, nothing that will zap you in life, certainly in ministry, more than having to fake it. If you have to wear a mask and perform on a platform, if you are not real, people are not looking for perfect, but they are looking for authenticity. And if you are faking it, ultimately you will be found out or burned out. But either way, you'll be out. Integrity will empower your life. Character will forge your life and ministry like steel. Guilt is exhausting, but integrity is empowering. I believe that integrity in ministry includes our integrity with the Word of God in declaring the whole counsel of God. I'm not being honest with God. I'm not being honest with His Word. I'm not being honest with God's people if I am not declaring the truthfulness, the reliability, the inerrancy of the Word of God. If I'm not preaching the whole counsel of God. If I'm in some way soft-selling the gospel, telling people what they want to hear in this generation to satisfy and soothe the itching ears of people in the last days, then I have failed in my calling, and I am, in a sense, lying in the pulpit. It's often at the little points, the little foxes spoil the vines. It's often in little areas, not even some of the big areas, that we disqualify ourselves for effectiveness in ministry. May God help us to cultivate our integrity. There's no place in the pulpit for the stain of the world. We are to avoid the very appearance of evil. You know what that means? We are to avoid the very appearance of evil. When evil appears, when evil shows up, we're gone. We're out of there. The world has seen enough facades and phonies in the pulpit. May God help us to be real, according to the integrity of our hearts. Well, I have one final word briefly, and that is, he not only was a shepherd, called to the shepherd's field, that's our identity in this calling, and according to the integrity of his heart, that's our character. But then, he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. He led them. He guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. The skill of his hands prepared when no one was watching in the shepherd fields, when he fought the lion and the bear and was successful. The skillfulness of his hands as he worshiped God and experienced the presence of God so wondrously in his life. God also has prepared us as he has called us. He has given us skills. Gifts, not natural talents, but spiritual gifts that are to be developed and deployed in life and ministry. We have a big job in leading and serving the church. feeding and teaching and praying and caring and ministering and evangelizing. And it is essential that you prepare to lead. That is why you are here at the seminary, I trust. Because you recognize the importance of preparation, of discipline, both mental and spiritual. And your preparation is different than any other kind of preparation in the world. I have a son who went to law school. It was a demanding course of study. And I have another son in business school, and that's demanding. And in the world, there are many careers and career paths, and the preparation is tough. And yet, you know, our seminary training, our ministry preparation prepares us to do the most important thing in all the world. We know that you cannot change the hearts and minds of men through laws or the next great invention. Politically, we get in the process, we speak to the culture, to the ethics of our times, but we know just putting a certain candidate in Congress or even in the White House is not going to change the hearts and lives of people. President Bush himself says, we know that government and governance cannot change the human heart. So who is in the heart-changing business? The church. We are the ray of hope to a world ever descending into depravity. We have the gospel. We have the word of God. We have the church that builds relationships and community and people together. We have the church which teaches ethics and morality. We have the church that gives people a purpose and a meaning to engage and invest their lives in something that lasts forever. So because it is this great calling, it requires leadership of quality and of excellence. Excellence in all things and all things to the glory of God. And so in your days of preparation, in your days on the launching pad, in your days here, knowing that the call is so great, knowing that the challenge is so much, give your all to preparing the skills and the gifts, the talents that He has given you. And then lead, guide the flock of God with the skillfulness of your hands. God wants your heart and He wants your hands. Give it all to Him. We thank You, O Lord, for Your calling upon our lives, knowing that what we do lasts forever. That it matters now and forever. And we pray, O God, that every day that we would live fully for this day. Because that day is coming when You will return in great glory and power and victory. That day when we will hear words, well done, we pray. So this day, may we live for that day. And may You give us the grace to hear Your call to develop our character and our competence in serving You. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.